Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Here we have another Friday morning to spend some time together with our listening audience out there. Yeah.
We have some questions from our listeners. Our first one comes from Chris in Rhode Island. Not on Rhode Island because it's not an island.
Yes.
What a curious name for a state. Hello, Jim and Bob. As the gold price increases in all currencies, it seems to be rising less in the reserve currency, the U.S. dollar. Is this true?
Well, the gold has taken some rallies in the U.S. dollar, became over and bought and sold off a bit. But generally, we don't think gold is going to go too far in U.S. dollar terms, but are very bullish on the gold outlook in real terms.
Is the gold price Mother Nature's way of acknowledging which currency is the reserve currency?
I think that's a good one, yeah. Yeah, and it honestly, you got it right. Mother Nature, it is financial markets that choose which will be the senior currency. And governments can do nothing about it. And gosh, back even Roman times, various Roman coinages were the senior currency. Then Rome collapsed, and then the financial market moved to Florence, and the florin became the coinage. And then, beginning in the 1400s, it Augsburg in Bavaria, or wherever it was, a mountain of silver was discovered. So it became the source of wealth. As a matter of fact, the biggest bank in history, the Fugger family bank, arrived from that one. And there's other interesting things about that one, Jim, because in Augsburg was the town. And it was in a valley, which in those days in German was pronounced as Thaler. That meant valley. And then that related to the currency that came out of the valley, the Thaler, and then eventually became known as the dollar. So that's an intriguing little bit of history. And then for a long time, Sterling, the pound, was the senior currency when London was the financial center. And then beginning sometime in the 30s, New York transitioned into becoming the financial center, and with it, the U.S. dollar as the senior currency. And it all happens, as you say, by Mother Nature.
The dollar could have just as easily been called the Fugger.
Careful on that.
And finally, Chris's last comment. If, as you say, gold mining is Mother Nature's way of bringing liquidity back to the system, will the country with a lot of gold and the best property rights and trustworthy debt markets prevail in the future as the reserve currency? Justin Trudeau notwithstanding, perhaps Canada has all the ingredients to become the next reserve currency someday?
Hey, you're thinking ahead. That's good work. But no, you have to have the dominant economy. And so, but We have hopes for Canada as well. I mean, Trudeau could resign. All the crazy central bankers put aside, and with the real price of gold going up, Canada could become a host to many gold mines and increasing production, which would be good.
Right. We just don't have the volume. I mean, Canada at 40 million people, that's California. One U.S.
right.
state, or Sao Paulo, Brazil, is 40 million people.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Michael. Hello, Bob and Jim. A question for Bob on currencies. The Swiss franc and gold have soared in recent months against the dollar on news of geopolitical tensions. Conversely, the U.S. dollar outperformed the franc and gold during the 2022 market sell-off. In a deflationary environment, which of the three, gold, the Swiss franc, or the U.S. dollar, is the best place to park one's money? Which would you primarily hold in a period of stagflation?
Oh, yeah. Well, we ain't going to get stagflation. That's just a transition until you get into the real deflation. And in which case, gold's real price will go up. So holding gold and or gold mining stocks at appropriate times would be a good winner. We fully expect, I'm looking at previous ones, after the bubble was over, gold's real price went up essentially for two decades, you know, with the usual business cycle, 3 to 4 year stuff, and their gold's real price went up. So you went into a multi-decade bull market for gold stocks. Nice place to be, and there's a nice prospect ahead of us. So, and I think that Canada can throw off its political excesses here and get back to something a little more normal. There is no need for central bankers to depreciate the currency. They got this really strange idea that if you depreciate the currency, it makes the economy better. So, forget about it.
His last question, will the Canadian dollar ever come into favor again, maybe in a period of commodity inflation?
You get a 20-year bear market for commodities after a great financial bubble. So, no, the Canadian dollar could become more stable with political reform.
Yeah, back in the 90s, we were at $1.10 for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I remember buying a couple of old cars from the States, and, $1.10 was really good.
Yeah, a friend of mine who had moved to Hawaii couldn't believe he had to pay $1.10 for Canadian dollars to come back home to Vancouver to visit.
Yeah.
Well, take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye when we return.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, one of the headlines that caught your eye, Trudeau driving Canada off a fiscal cliff. That's from the Toronto Sun.
Yeah, it's about right. He's completely focused on global warming and carbon credits, and he's utterly controlled by the World Economic Forum. As a matter of fact, a guy I've been acquainted with for 30 years, David Morrison, a few years ago was appointed as special advisor within the Prime Minister's office. And he, some years ago, was a director of the World Economic Forum. So, and then also a number of key liberal members are also WEF people. So they are firmly implanted in Ottawa and are doing damage. But I think going into a severe contraction, folks will get their heads sorted out and dismiss these guys.
Yes. Now, with Canada, I saw two reports on climate change, and they said the country that would gain the most out of a warming climate would be Canada. because it would reveal all these resources covered by ice and snow, and you'd be able to explore for more minerals.
Well, a better growing season.
But the government's against mining. Where are we supposed to get all these resources? Yeah, to build the electric cars. Don't forget, one electric car uses 277% more copper than a regular car.
Yep.
We don't have the copper mines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if we did, they wouldn't approve it.
You're right, Jim. They would not. They don't approve mining. They don't approve oil and gas, and they don't approve pipelines. So, I mean, how nihilistic can you get?
Deutsche Bank is predicting the S&P will go to 5,100 in the new year.
Yeah, that's quite bullish, all right. I don't quite agree with it. I think the stock market can be choppy through into January, February, and then you've got problems. As I often say, the yield curve inverted, there will be a recession, and that will then be recognized in the stock market. Yeah.
Enron all over again. Wind and solar industries become total financial train wrecks.
Oh, yeah. They have been building projects, billion-dollar projects. There was something about a sun reflector thing down in Arizona. $1 billion, and they got it all erected with all these mirrors aiming their intense sun energy on a salt boiler or something, and it didn't work. So, and then I see that in Canada, Trudeau is putting money into millions into subsidizing and building a plant in, I think, in Manitoba to make special electric batteries when electric vehicles are dying, you know, crazy.
Something that is being almost totally ignored in Canada, although it's a Vancouver company that builds these barges that use the tides to generate electricity. One barge can make enough electricity for about 3,000 to 5,000 homes. We have tides around the planet.
Up and down with the tides.
Yes. Well, it has big turbines that turn. As the water, the barge stays stationary. But you can put these things along riverbanks around the planet.
Yeah,
and they are, but in Canada, we're ignoring. We have all this.
Everyone wants to look at them.
Yeah. one's powering a fishing resort along.
Those in the Fraser River below you.
Sure. Well, the thing is, being a barge, you could design it to look like anything, make it look like a tropical island.
Sure.
In Spain, when they build a factory, some of them are works of art. They look like, you know, why does it have to be ugly?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a good point, Jim.
You know, you could make it into a beautiful piece of art.
Yeah.
People would come to take a look at your power barges if they look nice.
Mm-hmm. You could charge admission, I guess.
And you could build homes on them.
Yes.
It's something that we're short of in British Columbia, short across Canada.
Yeah.
Let's see. Pope Francis says the climate has run amok. The planet is overheating.
Yeah. He's not up to date. There's been, in the last couple of years, it's been rolling over to no longer heating. And you also have various cycles going on, whereby the next cooling trend is going to become more effective than any heating that modern society is doing. So I think the man-caused global warming story has very few popular followers these days, and it's just in the hands of control freaks who are using it to control people's lives.
I notice they don't have much of an explanation about why it was so much cooler in the 1500s. You said they burnt women as witches. They blamed them for the cooling climate. Back in Roman times, it was much warmer because we're finding Roman artifacts from retreating glaciers in Europe, and no one has explained how come it was so much warmer with the Romans. The planet runs in about 400-year cycles of hot and cold. during our post-ice age.
In Roman times, in England, they were growing grapes for wine.
Also, the oceans were higher then. And
ocean height sort of it gets probable because when the ice goes off an area, certainly the melting ice raises the ocean levels, but in many cases, like on our west coast here at BC, the ice leaving allows the land to rise. So if you went up the coast thinking that former native beach sites would be, a couple hundred feet down, no. Beach sites from 10,000 years ago are still at the beach because where the ocean has come up, the land has come up. Amazing, isn't it?
U.S. targets oil and gas industry's role in global warming with new rule on methane emissions. The Canadian government has just come in with the oil and gas industry have to reduce their emissions by 38% in just 7 years. Are these economy-killing laws?
Yes, they are. But fortunately, in Canada, Trudeau and his Liberal government can soon fail. Failing that, next year they got to have an election anyway, so then we get rid of these crazies.
Canada is the second coldest country on the planet. We have a 200-year proven reserve of natural gas. We're fools not to use it, are we not?
And
how come natural gas all of a sudden became evil? I never understood that.
Because it's carbon and fossil fuels. And, we watched the debates through the House over the last few months and where the opposition, Polyev, has been very effective at getting across to the House that people are suffering hard times with rising prices. And until recently, Trudeau's response was, well, we have to raise the carbon taxes to fix the planet. There's nothing he can do to fix the planet, but he's fixed on the carbon taxes thing. He can't get off of it, so he has to be eased out of office as soon as possible.
Canada admits at most 2% of the world's carbon dioxide. Even if we shut down everything, it's not going to have any impact whatsoever.
Well, you got China building, two coal plants every month or something like that.
Hmm.
So, no, but then also, from the very top, CO2 has very little to do with warming and nothing to do with climate change. It's a complete chimera. It's total nonsense.
And as you pointed out, Bob, plants love CO2. If we had more, they would grow faster, which means more food for the planet.
No, also, when CO2 increases, the plants are able to require less moisture as well.
Wow.
But at 400 parts per million, geologically speaking, this is low. In the past, they've been 7,000 parts per million. And in ice age, it can get down to 160. And if you're down to 150, plant life on this planet shuts down. No food. No, these guys are complete idiots. They have no concept of how planet or climate changes really work.
Yes. Now, they want us to use electricity to heat our homes. Do they know how expensive that is versus natural gas?
It doesn't matter. They are on a mission. And if you plugged in all the electrical things they want, there wouldn't be enough electricity. There wouldn't be enough copper, there wouldn't be enough rare earth elements, everything else. How many parts of Canada could be turned into strip mining trying to find the right kind of stuff for these electric vehicles? But Jim, fortunately, it's over. That you see images of acres and acres of parked electrical vehicles just waiting to self-ignite. So I'm telling you, the electric vehicle craze really is over and is dying, and it will go away.
Headline: margin calls from clearinghouses stoking future crisis. What's the story there?
Yeah, I like the headline because in a boom, people assume that the Federal Reserve can keep everything going. But the nemesis of the Federal Reserve is Mr. Margin. And if there were never any margin calls since the Fed opened its doors in 1914, life would be just one happy economic expansion, according to the theories, and one happy continued rising stock market. But no, you've got business and credit cycle stuff in there. And when a bubble completes, the street thinks that the Federal Reserve can keep the bubble going, but when it gets too far and it cracks, then Mr. Margin takes over, and he, for a few years, has greater power than the Fed.
Headline: analyst who called bank turmoil says trusts are next.
Yep, I like that one. Yeah, whoever it was did call the problem in banks. And, of course, it will spread to many other kinds of financial companies, and, as he points out, trust companies. They're all playing the same game.
So many people are focused on what the Fed does, but they only control short-term rates. What about long-term interest rates? Who sets those?
Oh, Mr. Market.
Hmm.
Yeah. And even then, the Fed really cannot control short rates. Now, for example, they're talking about the Fed tightening, but since August, the three-month Treasury bill rate has been coming down. And that is a natural rate of interest. And sometime, I figure by maybe early in the new year, the Fed will say, oh, short rates are down, we have to lower the administered rate. And this, there will be joy in the marketplace with that, but they don't understand that in the contraction, short T-bill rates go down, and the stock market goes down, and there are times when the fastest drops in the stock market are associated with the fastest drops in T-bill rates. So, yeah, that was the case in 2007. I got a wonderful quote by a named money manager in New York then, and saying that when the Fed starts to cut rates, it will certainly help the stock market. It's a great theory, but obviously the guy never looked at financial history, whereby short rates go up in a boom and short rates go down in the bust.
Bob, do things work best when interest rates are around 7%?
No, there's no rule on that.
No rule on that?
No.
There's not a sweet spot for interest rates.
No. It's whatever the market is. Now, you got periods of long stability where you might have had mortgage rates at 6% for a long time. But that's just due to perhaps a long period of stability, but there is no magic number, and we have been in the wildest times in interest rate history, for a long time. Following 1929, things got very interesting in the interest rate market. So, yeah, so we'll sum it up, Jim, that in a post-bubble contraction, real long interest rates go up. And they have done. They're up about by 2.5 percentage points now, and it's getting painful. And the typical increase in a post-bubble contraction has been 10 percentage points. So while it's painful so far, it's going to get very painful. So folks are advised to reduce debt, get as liquid as possible, and to have a happy Christmas.
Yes, stay happy, stay merry, stay jolly all year.
Yeah.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, good to be with you, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on X at How Street, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.